I was reading in the book of Joshua, and I was reminded just how good and how faithful God is in keeping his promises. I'm going to turn again to Joshua, that scripture that we just read, and I'd like to read that again. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all of their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. One of the things which is amazing about this passage to me is the time it took to happen. From the time that God gave Abraham that promise to the time that the children of Israel were settled in the land that God had promised them was a span of around 600 years. God waited, worked patiently through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through Joseph, through Moses, through Joshua, till the descendants of Abraham had grown. See, when it started, the nation of Israel was one person. And when they entered and took the promised land, they were millions. God was faithful to guide them through to the point that they were ready to possess the land. His promises never failed. And I want to start by just reminding us of that. There's times in the world that things get rough and we start to doubt the promises. God's promises never fail. Folks, Israel is not the only nation that God has blessed. While Israel is God's special nation, God has blessed many nations, including the United States. And the people of Israel are not the only people that God has blessed. God has blessed many people groups and many individuals, including millions in the United States. We have experienced blessed, privileged lives from birth to this point as a result of being born into this country at this time in history and being Christians. We have had more quantities of food, more quantities of luxuries, more abundance of possessions, greater amounts of wealth, more safety, more freedom, more access to travel both in the nation and into the world, better health and better health care. We have arguably had it better than any people group that has lived on the face of the earth. I can look in my own life and in my life with Ruth and count the blessings that God has given us. Blessed to be born in the hills in Idaho. I used to wear a t-shirt that says, Idaho is what America was. Blessed to be born in a poor family. And I don't mean that as a sense of pride. I mean that in the United States, in a poor country, by the time I was sick, in a poor family, by the time I was 16, I'd already purchased a motorcycle. By the time I was 18, I had a car. In some countries, if you're in a poor family, you're trying to get food. And that's as far as it goes. Blessed to be born in a poor family in this nation. Blessed to join the military and get a chance to see some of the world. Blessed to meet my wife. Blessed to have two good sons. At times. Blessed to have two wonderful sons. Blessed to own property. Have you thought about the blessing that it is to own a home or own a farm or own land? That in many nations, they don't have that privilege. They don't have that right. Blessed to have the freedom to attend great churches. Blessed to have had some great jobs. Blessed to go on missions. Ruth and I have been blessed to go into Chile and to Thailand, Vietnam, Honduras, Mexico a number of times. Blessed to come to South Dakota. It's a little different than Idaho and Oregon, but it's home, and we've been blessed to be here. Blessed to watch my sons marry wonderful wives and raise families. Blessed to be a grandpa. To take your grandson fishing is a special privilege. Blessed to be part of a great church family. Blessed to be called to serve here in Beersford. Folks, I've lived a blessed life. What about you? Have you been blessed? Have you seen the States? Have you sat beside a lake or sat beside the seashore and watched the waves come in? Have you dined at a fancy restaurant? Have you owned a car or a home? Been married, raised children, had pets that became family members? Have you been on a mission trip? Have you traveled or been on a cruise? Have you had a great job or owned your own business? Do you own a farm? Have you had the freedom to participate in sports and theater, to play music? Folks, can you honestly say that life has been bad? And the answer is no. God has blessed us with so much. So why aren't we happy right now? Because as I look around this nation and as I look around this state, I don't see a lot of happy people. We as a nation are responding like two-year-olds who are in a room of expensive toys and they're throwing a tizzy fit because their Buzz Lightyear action figure doesn't have new batteries in it right now. We stand in the midst of plenty and rail against everything because things are not normal. We demand that things return to the way they were in November of last year when we never heard of COVID. Folks, things change in our lives, in our nation, and in the world. Sometimes it's a result of changes in nature or supply. In Genesis 12:10, it says, "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land." In Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land." Sometimes when we look at the Word of God, we see that God is judging a nation and brings about a famine on them. These are not those cases. It just says there was a famine. It was a bad year. In Genesis 13, 6 through 7, it says, "Now the land was not able to support them," talking about Abram and Lot, "that they may dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together." There was not enough food in the land to support both. Sometimes changes are a result in changes in human government. In Exodus chapter 1, it says, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them.'" And then it goes on to say, "Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens." Change in government resulted in an entire people group getting enslaved. Sometimes changes are a result of persecution. In 1 Kings 19, verses 13 through 14, it talks about that time when Elijah had just had that wonderful time on Mount Carmel and God had accepted the offering, and the next day he's running for his life. And so he goes and God talks to him, and God says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah says, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and now they seek my life." In Acts 8:1, following the death of Stephen, it says, "At that time a great persecution arose against the church which was in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles." Sometimes changes are a result of God's blessing being removed. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 10 says this, "The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words.' Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. I just want to go back to that previous verse 8. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, there's a prayer time going to go on tonight in two different places. When something happens in our world, when changes come, one of our first reactions needs to be to repent and go before the Lord. And that prayer time is a wonderful place to go. Note that last part, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I'd benefit it. We have lived lives in a benefited nation. Folks, things change in our lives, in our nation, and in the world. Something changed this year in our lives, in our nation, and in the world. Was it the result of changes in nature? Maybe. Was it the result of changes in government? There's probably some of that in there. Was it the result of persecution? Probably not. Was it a change in God's blessing? Very likely. Does it really matter what exactly the cause is? Doesn't it matter more how we respond to it? See, I see Black Lives Matter signs. I see All Lives Matter signs. But I don't see any signs that say nothing matters if there is no God. See, if there is no God, it doesn't matter if you are red, yellow, black, white, pink, orange, or rainbow colored, because your life is pointless. There is no eternal purpose, and existence is a waste of time if there is no God. And if there is a God, it doesn't matter if you are red, yellow, black, white, pink, orange, or rainbow colored, because he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. And if you will repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you will live with him eternally after you die, and your life in this time and the next will have purpose and meaning. But if you will not repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you will die in your sins and experience eternity in hell. It doesn't matter what signs you carry or how much you protest and yell, there is a God, and the only way to heaven is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Church, and I say that not to this church, and you need to know this is the same message that I shared at our church. I'm embarrassed about how the church in the United States has responded to this change in the world. We in the church are fighting about face masks. We're fighting about who has more faith, as if meeting with or without a mask is a test of faith. If we're going to do that, let's go imitate some of the primitive Baptist churches and pass around snakes and scorpions and see who has more faith. We're fighting about styles of meeting and numbers of chairs. I see all of that and a whole lot more. I see Christian pastors bragging on YouTube about taking off their face masks as soon as they walk into Walmart to make a point. They may be making a point about the level of rebellion in their heart, but if you want to make a point for Jesus Christ, take a Sharpie and write Jesus Saves across your face mask and wear it the whole time in Walmart. They're asking us to put on a sign. They're requiring us to go ahead and wear a face mask. Do something with it for Jesus Christ. Folks, this was our time in the world to shine. A world that's confused and lost, and all we've done is attack the government, attack the people, and attack one another in the church. We've lost the plot. We've lost our direction. Look at the New Testament church in Acts in chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death," that's Stephen. "At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles." You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say that they picked up signs and they started protesting in the streets. It says, "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." They were getting killed for their faith. It wasn't about face masks or meeting. But they didn't go around carrying signs, "The church is an essential business." They didn't wear t-shirts that said, "Down with the Pharisees." They spread the gospel. They didn't argue with the apostles about not continuing to meet as a group in Jerusalem. I mean, can't you see it? Peter, what is up with this? Last week, you were just miraculously freed from jail. Why aren't we still meeting at the temple? Where's your faith, Peter? No, they scattered and spread the gospel. Do you get the reoccurring theme there? The most important thing in their life, above their life, was the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because wearing or not wearing a mask will not change the world. But the gospel of Jesus Christ will change not only the world, but it will save souls for all eternity. I see churches on TV bringing in experts, not to talk about theology, not to talk about the Bible, not to talk about salvation, but to talk about masks. The church has no business in the medical industry. The church's mission is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wore this, Ruth and I came with masks today. Because last night at church, I was wearing a mask. And we require everybody to wear masks. Because that's where we're at as a church. We got out of the car and we're wearing masks. And we stopped. We had a conversation for about 5 minutes. And I said, "Why? Are we wearing the mask for us or for them?" And the answer is always, we're wearing it for other people. I'm not worried. And so I asked, would it be an offense? Because, see, this is a little bit like the meat sacrifice to idols. And folks, there's a really easy way to handle the mask without causing judgment and causing division. If you go into a business that requires a mask, happily put a mask on, maybe with a little note that says something about Jesus if you want to. If you go into a business that doesn't require a mask, if you feel comfortable not wearing a mask, then go in. If you go to somebody's home and they wear masks, then you need to make a decision about whether to go in if you are uncomfortable or comfortable. If somebody comes into your meeting and wears a mask, they're wearing a mask. You don't make them feel uncomfortable. If you go to a place and everybody's wearing a mask, don't feel uncomfortable. And another little note, if you're here today and you feel uncomfortable wearing a mask because everybody's not wearing a mask, but you feel that your health is challenged, wear a mask. We did a survey in the church about meeting times, and one person said, wonderful little lady, compromised health, and she said, I'm scared to attend unless everybody's wearing a mask, but I'm scared because I don't want to shake hands and I don't want to hug, but I don't want to offend people more. So if they shake my hands or they give me a hug, and if I die. That should not be us. We should not put somebody into that position where they feel like their life is threatened. It's not an issue of faith, it's a medical thing. And the church has no business. We wear masks at Set Free. We will continue to do so until we really feel that it's safe for our folks that are compromised. We sing with masks on. Not easy. The Methodist Church doesn't allow them to sing. There's another church that meets in a parking lot. Guess what? There's believers in every one of those places. And if they want to meet there, that's great. If they want to do it without singing, that's great. It is our business to support one another in the body of Christ, not to tear down. Isn't it okay for God to change things a little bit? Isn't it okay for God to take us on a new adventure? I know it's hard to change, but think about that New Testament church. They had just experienced Pentecost. For the first time in their lives, the presence of the Holy Spirit was with them. They were watching hundreds, if not thousands, of people being saved every day. People weren't being greedy. They were sharing their possessions with one another. It was a permanent potluck. People were going from house to house sharing meals. Can you imagine the worship as all of those people were gathering together and praising God? And then the next thing they knew, they were being persecuted, they were being murdered, and they were scattered. If there was ever a time and if there was ever a people group that had the right to say, no, we're going to go ahead and protest this, we're going to fight this, it would have been that group. But they didn't. They humbly took the gospel and spread it. In Matthew 5, Jesus is very un-American. Because he doesn't say, if somebody slaps you on the cheek as a good American, you make sure you get even. And he doesn't say, stand up for your rights and don't let anybody push you around. You know what he says? If a Roman soldier asks you to carry his pack for a mile, carry it too. Because that same person, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but humbled himself and became obedient to the death on a cross. We are entering a new time in the world. It's a time for the church to step up. It's a time for the church to stand together. The enemy has crept in and distracted us. I never would have thought that for 4 months, Christians would be attacking each other. In a time when the world needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and a message of peace, we as a people need to stand up and give hope into a world. This doesn't matter. If somebody is wearing it, great. If they're not wearing it, great. It works, or if you believe it doesn't work, whatever. But this is not the issue. This is the issue. There are two types of people in the world right now. It's not Democrats and Republicans. Saved and unsaved. Don't imply anything there. We are either going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. Every person you meet today is either going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. Let's get off the script of COVID and masks and assembling and essential businesses and all of that, and let's get back on the script of, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth, even if there's COVID. We have a mission. Let's do it. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would beg you to get right with Jesus Christ, because time's getting short. And it's a matter of confessing your sins to Christ, repenting and asking Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. And He will change your life in this life and for all of eternity. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have unfinished business in your life, whether it be baptism, whether it be forgiving or asking forgiveness of somebody in your life, get it done. Time's short. This is the time for us to finish well in our lives. Let's live for Christ. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your word. Thank you for its inerrancy and its truthfulness. God, thank you for giving us our marching orders. God, thank you for not making it too complicated, because sometimes we're pretty dense. God, I pray against the enemy who would love to distract your body of believers and cause us to be running around and spinning around and fighting amongst ourselves when we need to go out into the world and share the truth about who you are. God, I ask your blessing on this church. Thank you so much for John and Nancy, for the leadership of this church. Lord, help them to remain strong in the midst of this. Lord, I pray for a hedge of protection around them, your healing touch on them. Help them to stand, and not only that, but help them to make a difference in this area for Jesus Christ. God, we love you and we serve you. We bow the knee in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.